Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 20, entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe. Text number 12.
Yadya Vyasa Vadarmena
Mambaniyat
Anagasam Tatapyenam Nahim Sisye Vitam Brahmatanum Ripum Yadyapi
Although
Aso
Lord Vishnu
Adarmena
Crookedly
Without reference to the straight way
Me
Kills.
Anagasam.
Although I'm not sinful.
Tatapi.
Still.
Enam against
him.
Not.
Him sisye.
I shall take any retaliation.
Bhitam.
Because he's afraid.
Brahmatanum.
Having assumed the form of a Brahmana.
Brahmachari.
Ripum.
Even though he's my enemy.
Translation. Although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear he has covered himself in the form of a Brahmana to come to me begging, under the circumstances. Because he has assumed the form of a Brahmana, even if he irreligiously arrests me or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy. Purport. If Lord Vishnu, as he is, had come to Bali Maharaj and asked him to do something, Bali Maharaj certainly would not have refused this request. But to enjoy the little humor between himself and his devotee, the Lord covered himself as a Brahmana Brahmachari and thus came to Bali Maharaj to beg for only 3 feet of land. Om Agyati Mananda Sevyananda Salakya Sakshura Minitanya Tasmai Sigurudema Se Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Bali Maharaj was ready to surrender. At the same time, Bali Maharaj, though, didn't have full knowledge, because he didn't fully understand the reason why the Supreme Lord had taken the form of a Brahmana, Brahmachari. He's thinking, out of fear, he cannot come before me and demand from me on the strength of his power. Just see, he has to come before me in hiding and use the guise of a Brahmana to beg and ask for something which I will give to a Brahmana. No problem. So he was thinking that out of fear he took this form. He's using through some scheme, he's trying to get his objectives fulfilled because he doesn't have the strength to face me directly. But that's obviously, he was not understanding that the Supreme Lord is a person, and that the Supreme Lord also likes to play. As we are always playing games, always sometimes playing games with words and so on, the Supreme Lord also, he enjoys that ras, he enjoys that taste. So to surprise Bali Maharaj, to come there as a little dwarf brahmana, and be very renounced. Oh yes, I've come to ask for some charity. Oh, what you want? I'm the ruler of the entire universe. You want a planet? Oh yes, I'll give you your own planet. No. I'm a brahmachari. What do I need? A brahmachari, he doesn't need a planet. I need just 3 steps of land so I can lie down. That's all. Please give me 3 steps of land. My brahmachari, why are you asking only 3 steps of land? I can give you an entire planet. No, 3 steps will do. Then with 2 steps, he took the whole universe. He just became enormous, and with 2 steps took the entire universe and said, where will I put my 3rd step? Bali Maharaj did not object at that time, did not become angry. You have cheated me. Nothing like that. Bali Maharaj just simply really surrendered and said, yes, put your 3rd step on my head. And he did so, but he was not satisfied. He said, no, you promised me 3 steps of land. You didn't keep your promise. I had only 2. Where's the 3rd step? So then he arrested him and had him bound up in this huge snake which suffocated him. And there was no mercy. And Bali Maharaj had given everything. And that's how he was treated. And even when Bali Maharaj is getting very weak, and still, the Lord just left him hanging there in the snake, just to test him, so that to see what would happen. Naturally, the mind would come, just see, I surrendered to him, but he has not treated me with any decency. I gave him everything, and see how he's treating me. So the Lord was seeing, is Bali Maharaj going to think like that? But Bali Maharaj did not. He did not. He kept a humble mood all throughout, even when he was treated so severely. So then at the end, the Lord bestowed so much mercy upon him. So this is how a Vaishnava relates to trying circumstances, difficult circumstances. He always sees, oh, Krishna's testing me. Because he sees Krishna behind everything, saying, and sometimes we see it after, and we think, oh my God, I failed another test. What to do? We fail the tests many times. But that's all right. That's okay. We learn also. Prabhupada says that failure is the pillar of success. So from our failure we learn where did we go wrong? What was the mistake we made? Then, now don't make it again. Yes, so in this way, things are not easy, but whatever comes our way, we accept it as Krishna teaching us. It is said that there are different worldviews. One worldview is a mechanistic worldview, that the universe is like a big machine and we are in this big machine, and that is a materialistic worldview. Another worldview is that this world is a place to enjoy. It's a playground. And then we make Disney World, and we have balloons, and it's a party. It's always a party. It's a party with Mickey Mouse. So nice. It's like, you know, party. And again, another worldview is that we are here to learn. And that worldview is more the worldview of Srimad Bhagavatam. That we are here in this world to learn, that we are the playground idea is rejected. Prabhupada walked past the children's playground, they call it children's fairyland, and he turned around, he looked at it, took his cane and pointed at the city and said, adults fairyland. We are playing in the world. But this is condemned. in Srimad Bhagavatam. But that life is meant for us to learn, that is a fact. This material world is designed like that. So we must take it like that. And one must think out of different situations that what am I meant to learn? Nothing is happening by chance. Everything is custom-made, perfect fit. It's not that whatever happens shouldn't have happened. This shouldn't have happened to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just too much. I mean, okay, so far I could tolerate it, but what happened now, that just should not have happened. No, it had to happen particularly. It was designed for you, all along planned for you, so that we could really learn from that. You know, and you can see, like, for example, Beethoven was such a famous composer, even during his life. Many artists are only recognized for their greatness once they're dead, you know, but Beethoven was famous in his life. And as a famous composer, you know, like complex symphonies, you know. And then he went deaf. Even deaf, can you imagine? It's just the one thing that was practically the worst thing that could have happened. And he had the perfect ear. It's like, actually for a musician, the ear is essential. People who can't sing, it's not they can't sing, they can't listen. That's the problem, they can't listen. It's not that they can't sing, they just can't listen. And they just don't listen. It begins with listening, actually. Music begins with listening. So that's the ear. It's all about the ear, really. So Beethoven had a perfect ear. He could perfectly hear different tones and notes, and then he goes deaf. So Krishna just, it was a setup. Right? He becomes bigger and bigger. He's the greatest, and then he goes deaf. Loses it. So he had to go through this agony of everything he had taken away. So in this way, he had to become... He would be thrown back upon himself. In spiritual life, it's also like this, is that in spiritual life, we may, in the course of our service, we get recognition, we get so many facilities, and so on. Right? Many external attributes by us. Over the years, you collect a library, your books, you know, your fancy jars, everything, right? Our whole, all the attributes. But in a time of a spiritual crisis, all that is there is the Krishna consciousness within. That is what you really have. That's all you really have. The Krishna consciousness within. Therefore, within we have to make commitments. Within we have to say, yes, Krishna, I will put you first. I will put you before my senses. I will put you before my mind. I will, whatever you say. And then we take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, because there Krishna's will is revealed. It is said that Krishna swadamo bhagate dharma gyanadi visaha kalunasta trisam esa purana kurupinodita. That when Krishna left the planet, then immediately everything changed. Immediately. It is said as long as Krishna was gracing the planet, Everything was auspicious and opulent and widely available, but when Krishna left the planet, then everything changed. And not only did natural opulence disappear, but dharma gyanadi visaha, dharma and gyan also went with him. So in this way, when Krishna left, and then the world was deprived of religious principle, and the world was deprived of knowledge, and people sunk down into ignorance. The Bhagavad Gita is particularly that book which cuts through the ignorance, because Arjuna is in ignorance. His bow, Gandiva, is gliding from his hand. You are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. So it is stated. So Arjuna is in ignorance. Arjuna and therefore he's reminded of the position of the soul being eternal. He gets an explanation of the three modes of material nature. He gets to explain how lust is dealing, how lust is avritam jnanamite na yoginam nityavairena kama kunti rupena duspurina malena cha. That lust covers the consciousness and covers knowledge, and that it is indriyana mano buddhir, that it asya distana uchate, that it is situated within the senses, within the mind, and in the intelligence. And so little by little, the Bhagavad Gita is pointing out how we are in the grip of the material energy. And one learns the austerities of the body, how one has to bow down before elders and respect them. One learns the austerity of the mind, how when the conditions are right, one has to be satisfied. And the mind is never satisfied. Always find something that is not satisfying. And yes, and the austerity of the mind, that we have to cut as soon as a thought comes that is not anukul. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya vajanam. When it is anukul, when it is favorable for the service of Krishna, accept it. Pratikul, unfavorable, let go. Just let that go. Do not dwell on the thought. That is the way to deal with the mind, the austerity of the mind. So Bhagavad Gita identifies all these things, and then comes abhyasiyo yuktena cetasananya gamina. Practice. My practice. My practice. And engaging the mind in sadhana. Practice. Not just acting in the mode of passion. Acting before thinking, first thinking, then acting. And the mode of ignorance. Prabhupada said, if when Mayapur, showing the devotees around, and came upon an area which was very dirty, then Prabhupada told the devotees, why is this going on? And Prabhupada said, this is the mode of ignorance. If you don't do anything about the mode of ignorance to correct it, then you are in the mode of ignorance. So, like that, people didn't feel responsible, but Prabhupada made them responsible. And that is our duty. So, gradually by the transcendental knowledge, we begin to see things in a proper perspective. We get a handle on the mind, a handle on the senses. So it's not like, but how can I control the mind? How can I control the senses? I just don't know. I'm trying and I just don't know. I'm really trying. No, this is ignorance. This is ignorance is bliss. the reality, there is transcendental knowledge, there is a process. It says exactly that nothing is left gray, nothing is left vague, it's just crystal clear what to do. Yeah, but I cannot do it. I cannot. I tried so many times. I really tried and I just couldn't do it. So what? Try again. No, but how can I try again when I failed so many times? That's your mind. Cut the thought right now. Cut. Do not dwell on this. Cut it, it says. Cut it. And then try again. Abhyasa yogi uttena, by trying it gets better. It's like I have to do exercises, and Brain Vikas is teaching me Tai Chi at the moment.
Not above the shoulders, okay.
Watch your knees, okay, watch my knees. So many details, my God, drives you nuts. You have to move this hand and that one has to follow it, you know. It goes like a machine,
like a car.
I'm not a car, says my mind. But by practicing, something proven. So, a little bit. So, it is a fact. It is anything we practice, we get better. As someone said, I cannot sing. They used to always send me out in the class because I cannot sing. I just cannot sing. I'm tone deaf. And they go, no, you're not tone deaf. You're just not listening. You're not listening. Listen. Just listen. And it's like you can make people who are tone deaf, you can make them sing properly. Yeah. It takes time. Because they're just lazy. They're just not listening. They already make the sound before listening. Yeah. And the note is, and they go, anyway, I can't do it. I don't think I can sing off. But they can sing. They're just too lazy. Especially if you go in a high note, they will stay in the low note. Yeah. Laziness and not listening. So it's like that with everything. We are lazy. Oh, it's too difficult. Oh, I can't do it. I can't. No. Just like children. I can't do it. No. Do it. I can't. See, it wasn't so bad. You could do it after all. But everyone comes to his limit where it says, I can't. This I cannot do. No. This I cannot do. I just can't. I know myself. I know my limitations. And then, if I don't sleep, if I have to cut my sleeping, I can't. And I know, I'll get very tired. But I just had an interesting experience, like the last few months, I had this problem with my leg and I just couldn't sleep. Yeah, bang, I just couldn't sleep. So I was on the ghost swarming program. Not out of choice, not out of Krishna consciousness, but just by Krishna's arrangement. And I think, my God, Krishna's telling me, it's time you should go on the Goswami program. I go, come on, Krishna, you're not serious. You're not telling me I should go on the Goswami program. I can, you know, that's too much. I need my sleep. No, Krishna wants the Goswami. Like that, Krishna is telling us things. Krishna is there. Krishna is the teacher. Krishna is telling us what to do, and we know it. We know it from within. We know very well. We know. Like, why are all these things happening to me? Think deep, deep down. You know very well. No, I don't know at all. Well, maybe it's because... That's right. That's right. Krishna from within is teaching us. It's not all so complicated. There are indications. But if we don't know, then the Vaishnavas will teach us. And the spiritual master will give us so many instructions in order. And in the purport to one of the Chatusloki in the Bhagavad Gita, the verse Tateno Kampam Susamiksanano Bunjane Bhakakampipa. In that, oh no, that's the wrong verse, that's a Bhagavatam verse. It's Tesam Evanukampa Tamaham Agyanajam Tamaha. That verse, Tesam Evanukampa Tamaha. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about one who is failing to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And he said, if one cannot follow one gets all the good instructions and still one is not following, then Krishna will make an arrangement. Then he will make an arrangement to teach us by force. Yes, as Bali Maharaj was getting a serious lesson, Bali Maharaj, there was a devotee in him, and Krishna, who's Trikala Gyanam, past, present, future, understood it, and he turned his life in such a way that Bali was getting incredible power. He had the throne of Indra. Big time. And yet he was not biased like Indra. Indra is a position which is attained when one performs 100 Ashwamedha Yagyas. That is very difficult when one is a great, great pious soul. Yes. So, Indra is getting that position, and all the austerities and all the pious things he has done have accumulated. You see, in our case, there is mercy that came into our life, but there's so many previous impious activities. And because all these impious activities are still present within the consciousness, stored in the subconsciousness, within the mind, therefore the inclination is to act sinful, and therefore it's difficult. It's so difficult, this Krishna consciousness. But for one who is engaging in many pious activities, it all becomes very easy, very natural. So Indra has performed so many pious activities for so many lifetimes. This austerity, that austerity, this sacrifice, this fast, that offering, all these things he has done. See, we also are doing fasting on this occasion, chanting extra rounds on another occasion. This is all building up our piety, our bhakti unmukhi sukriti, not just mundane piety but spiritual piety. But this creates piety. Then that piety will help us. So piety is a powerful help, and impiety, a lot of sinful activities in the past, is like a big burden. It's weighing us down. Yes. But therefore we have to create piety against our impious mind. We have to build up sukriti, and that will give us more strength. Then we'll do better. By building up more sukriti, we'll be able to do things that we were not able to do before. No, I can't do this. And then later, yes, I don't know how, but I can. So we must therefore embrace devotional service, but also embrace practices of sadhana, embrace regulative principles. I can't follow these principles. It's impossible. Follow them. No, but I can't. Follow them. No, but I can't. How do you know you can't? I know myself. No, you don't. You know only yourself up to this point, up to today. You don't know yourself from tomorrow. You don't know who you're going to be tomorrow. You know yourself from maybe birth, from the baby pictures, because you can't even remember that. But up to today, up to now. That's much harder. But we don't know ourselves from tomorrow. We don't. No idea. a whole different side to make come out. Something that just never came out. How many times? Something, not everything of our character manifested at birth. Things came out over the years. Sometimes said, wow, I never knew I had it in me. Gosh, I never could have imagined that I could have done this, and now I'm doing it. It's amazing. Isn't it like that? And certainly in this movement where we become empowered. But when we say, no, I cannot be empowered. I'm unempowerable. It's not possible. Why? Because I cannot change. I know myself. I cannot change. Then we will not change. Just as a person who's awake and who's acting like sleeping, you can't wake him up. Someone who's sleeping, you can wake him up. But someone who's saying, no, I'm not waking up, I'm acting as if I'm sleeping, you can't wake him up. we create all these illusions around ourselves. Illusions where we say, I cannot do this. I cannot. No. And then we say, and then we justify it. Because there are 100 different reasons. No. See, I have a list of 100 reasons why I can't do this. Fine. One reason is I'm too young. Another, I'm only 99 years old. Too young. Another reason is I lack intelligence. Another reason is that my mother had the same problem I have. It's genetic. Another reason is, and I can come up with 100 excuses. 100 excuses that justify why I don't have to surrender. No, I want to surrender, yes. But part of surrender is that we place our faith in Krishna and that he will make adjustments. Yes, I put my faith, but he's not making the adjustment. He didn't make it. No. Empowerment is not that, I say, no, okay, Krishna, I'm waiting, you please empower me, make me fly. Just make me fly. No. It's a try to ourselves go up. It's a try. Then Krishna lends us the energy. We have to make the endeavor. It's just like initiation. At the time of initiation, we were taking vows, right? So the thing about these vows is that it is about our behavior. No meat, fish, eggs, no gambling, no intoxication. It's about our behavior. And it gives us a level of behavior which is higher than what we would do naturally. If you would leave it up to us, we wouldn't do these things. We wouldn't act on that level. And then the vows put us on a level higher than where we are. And there was an advertisement in the Second World War in Calcutta. And these big billboards at the side of the road, and it showed an army uniform. And it said, when you wear the uniform, you'll know what to do. You'll know what to do. So, what does that mean? Jeez, what is that supposed to mean, a uniform? It means when you are in the position, Krishna supplies knowledge of what to do. Krishna supplies the strength. He supplies the intelligence. Tadani Buddhi Yogam Tan. He supplies the intelligence by which we can come to him. So it's not that we are left alone. It's not that anything is impossible. That's why Prabhupada could say impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Why a fool? Because the fool is not accepting that Krishna will supply me intelligence, Krishna will supply me with strength, Krishna is there to help me. And therefore, I will be able to do things that I was never able to do. Therefore, it can be done. It can be done. But you say, no, it can't be done. Then we have given up the fight. Then we've given up. Yes. But it is also that it is a process, as we're seeing. Bali Maharaj surrendered, but there was a lot of influence. There was also a lot of ignorance in him. So he still needed further purification also to rise above that ego. Okay, any questions, any comments?
That's not Tai Chi, that's Reiki.
Question? Please.
Is the presence of Vamandev after that experience with Bali Maharaj, does he continue in the light space longer?
Vamandev, if he stays longer on the planet?
Yeah.
Don't think so. No, it's described, he's one of those. Vamanadev became a guard on the planet where Bali Maharaj resided. That is said, he was guarding the door of Bali Maharaj's palace. That he did. He gave him a planet and he guarded his. He was personally there guarding his door. But for the rest, there's no description about what he performing other pastimes that that is mentioned. Mm. Yeah. Nothing.
Now we might try to do something or try to elevate our consciousness and pray for the mercy. But then the result doesn't instantaneously manifest as we have these quick results.
Yeah.
So how can one remain fixed in that determination while not being able to perceive like anything? Everything.
Why we're so attached to immediate results?
Yeah.
It means basically we're so attached to the results of our activities. Mm. Oh, it doesn't work. Try again, you know. Anything, you know, like simple things in the material world, you know, you try to close the door and somehow or other the doorknob doesn't work very well. Oh, doesn't work. Try it again. After three times trying, somehow or other, it might work.
Mm.
But if you're the first time and you say, can it be done? No, it doesn't work. Yeah, then nothing will work. So one has to just pursue it. It may not work the first time. And that's what you see in Srila Prabhupada. He had this amazing quality that he would not give up.
Mm.
That everyone just gives up. Oh, it's impossible, it works, it can't be done. No, I tried it. We always give up. And Prabhupada just never gave up and kept on trying. And then at the end, it worked, you know, like beyond expectation.
Mm. Giving up his stomach.
Mm-hmm. Not always. You also have to know when to give up. Because you can't do everything all at once. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to... Obviously, sometimes you just have to leave something.
Mm-hmm.
To try somewhere else better. But when you give up one thing, you'll only give it up when there's really a much better opportunity elsewhere. Like Prabhupada gave up Jhansi. Jhansi he gave up. And there was this property and the wife of the governor wanted, and he wanted it, and he had it for a while, but then this wife of the governor, she got it, and then, he realized, this is pointless. Yeah, I can't win this. Okay, so sometimes you can't win. But then he went for some other option. But not, it's difficult. It's too difficult. Let me go to bed. Stay under the blankets. No.
just to add on what he was asking, I was just reading about Ahimsa today and how they started like the 24-hour kirtan. And then it took a whole lot of determination from him and to actually even help those who were surrounding him to make sure that 24-hour kirtan took place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to add on.
Yeah, it was impossible. You know, actually, before Ahimsa, Prabhupada started the 24-hour kirtan in 1975 when the temple opened, and for a short while Hansa Dutta was the temple president. Very short. They had like a very strict system. Everyone was getting coupons in Mongol Arctic if you would come for the sadhan. So it was a very strict management, not so popular. But and then Prabhupada instructed him about the 24-hour kirtan. He told him how to have shifts and this, that. And then Hansa Dutta, okay, he implemented it in everyone. It didn't matter who you were, you had to be in the shift. So he just, all the devotees shifted. And one Mataji went complaining to Prabhupada, saying, it's like, but I have to make garlands for 3 hours. And, you know, she's making a little cards. And Prabhupada said, yes, then you don't have to do the kirtan. Not like that. If you have already other service, he said, it's for those. If they don't have other service, then they can do it. So it was a big struggle. But it was hard to maintain. And then after Prabhupada's disappearance, it became difficult to maintain the kirtan. It was still going on a bit, but not exactly 24 hours. So in 1978, I was in charge of the 24-hour kirtan for quite a number of years, and we just didn't have people to go the whole night. So we used to keep the kirtan usually going during the day with different volunteers. And the temple commander who was before me was very eager. He was always getting devotees from all over the world to come and sit down and do some kirtan. He would ask them and so on. So, but no one had done exactly the schedule that Prabhupada wanted, because we were managing and we were not sitting down ourselves, you know, but Ahimsa, he sat down himself. He sat down and he did the night shifts and he did the tough parts. And he lived with the 24-hour kirtan in the rooms. And he cleaned the bathroom and made them clean the bathroom and things like this. So, like that, you know. By hard work, but he was successful. By hard work. Not by some miracle, you know, by hard work. Thank you very much, Baba Ki. Yeah.